goodies in your lunchbox. There's some rice and then leftover roast duck or emperor's chicken from last night. Or there could be some dumplings with a small container of sauce. The more you think of it, the hungrier you get. You can't wait until lunchtime. Or even worse, in your hunger, you all of a sudden remember today is your fast and prayer time. That means there's no lunch. So you start thinking about dinner. You know what that is, right? Yeah, the more you think, the more hungry you get, and the greater appetite within you. How about our spiritual appetite? That inner hunger, that desire to know God, desire to be close to Him. How hungry are you to know God? In recent weeks, we have been studying different aspects of Christian growth. We learned that we are to grow as Jesus did, that we are to grow like Him, we are to grow to become like Christ, to grow in wisdom as Jesus did. And this morning, we want to explore growing in our knowledge of God, especially regarding our desire for God, the desire to know Him, the desire to be close to Him. In John chapter 8:55, we have Jesus' words that you have not known Him, that meaning the Heavenly Father, but I know Him. And then chapter 10:15, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I mean, Jesus said, I know the Father. And then 17:25, O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. From these and other passages, it becomes very clear that Jesus knows His Father. He knows the Heavenly Father. But there's also more to this in John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus is talking about that He expects His followers, His disciples also to know God. Yeah, He knows God, but He also expects His followers to know God. Therefore, as we grow like Jesus did, we also grow in our knowing God. However, in order to know God, there must be first the desire of wanting to know Him. In Sinclair Ferguson's words, there must be a spiritual appetite for God. Wanting to know Him. Wanting to be close to Him. When we are sick, we usually have no appetite whatsoever. Even though we have the most delicious food prepared for us, we have no interest in it. The same is true with our spiritual life. Without that spiritual appetite, no matter how much we are told of the importance and the benefits of knowing God, no matter how much the pastors preach that you need to know God, you have to read the scriptures, it means very little to us, isn't it? Therefore, if we are to know God, if we are to grow in our knowing, in our knowledge of God, we must first see how we can develop the spiritual appetite. This appetite, the hunger of wanting to know Him. This morning, we'll use Psalm 42 and 43 to explore this spiritual appetite, this desire for God. It is good for us to remember when we study the Psalms, there are many times we find ourselves identifying with the psalmist and therefore fully understand and appreciate his situations, his emotions, his actions, and his solutions. But there will also be time when we had no clue what he was going through. In those moments, it would be wise for us to learn that the psalmist's experience will be an example for us. So one day when we find ourselves in those situations, we know where we are to turn to and know what we can do. In Psalm 42, verse 1, we have these words that we are so familiar. We read it and we sang it in songs and As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. It was Psalmist's desire of wanting to know God. It's that deep hunger within him that I want to know you. I want to be close to you. And we want to take a look, how does this come about? Again, in chapter 42, the psalmist alluded to some of his life situations. Let's take a look at some of them. Verse 4, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts of songs of praise and a multitude keeping festival. He contrasted what life was before and what it was now. He remembered the good days when he was worshiping with God's people and he was leading them in the worship. Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night while they say to me continually, where is your God? And then verse 9, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? See, earlier he was talking about the past, but now he was talking about the present. At present, he was isolated, he was pursued by enemies. He was mocked and he was mistreated by them. And out of such life-changing situations or life-defining moments, the psalmist cries out, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You see what is happening here? In such life-defining moments, there is that hunger, there is that desire, that thirst for God. Don't we also have some of those changing and defining moments in life? To some of us, it is our passages of life. Still remember very vividly at a dinner table, about 20-some years ago, when a doctor heard about how I put behind my professional training as a biologist and entered ministry and was pastoring a church in St. Louis, her immediate response, even without thinking, she cried out and she said, ha, that must be your midlife crisis. And then I said, yeah, I made that decision several years ago. I don't think I had reached that midlife yet. You still remember what it was like when you turned 30, and then 40, and then 50, and then 60 years old, don't you? During those moments, we tend to evaluate what life is all about. We are especially concerned about the purpose and future direction of life. You see, the older we get, the more we realize that the years behind us is more than what is before us. This could be a very sobering thought, isn't it? That the years behind us are much longer, much more than what is ahead. But to some of you, this may not hold true. Yet what is ahead of you is a lot more than what is behind you. But in others, we feel that way. It's a very sobering thought. Those are our defining moments. They also include changes in jobs or relationships or moving to another country, another city. These are those defining moments. Isn't it true that in such moments we all tend to think of spiritual things? We want to know God more. We want to seek what His will is for us in the days to come. There was that appetite for God. Now let's take a closer look at some of the psalm's specific defining moments in life. Again, we look at verse 4. These things I remember, focus on I remember, as I pour out my soul, how I will go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. It was a pleasant memory of the past. He was talking about the past and he remembered. It was a good memory. It was happy. It was joyous, for he was with friends. And then he was also a leader among them, leading them into God's presence and worshiping him. But what did he do with that past fond memories? Look at verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. You see, he recalled those good times, those pleasant memories, those fond moments. But the psalmist clearly did not dwell on those moments. Instead, he looked into the future. He has hope in God that one day he will worship and praise Him again with the other children of God. We may also have some defining moments in our spiritual life. We remember a worship service or a meeting when we clearly felt being grasped by the Holy Spirit. He touched our hearts and released a wellspring of tears within us. That was a very special encounter with the living God. Or it could be at a church or the fellowship of a small group that we used to belong. And when we experience present dissatisfaction, we'll start to recall those past memories, isn't it? The happy ones especially. And if we don't watch out, then we'll be forever dwelling in those past memories. And then you know what happened? When we live in the past, we'll start to complain about the present. And it will be creating negative and cynical attitudes within us. When we constantly dwell in the past, it will make us into bitter and unhappy persons. Instead, past fond memories should cause us to have hope in God, looking forward to the day when God, in His own timing and His mercy, will once again grant us those special experiences. That we will re-experience those moments of joy and fellowship with His children. Let's take a look at the psalmist and the life experience. Again, it's in verse 4. Now, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I will go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. The focus was multitude, procession. Now it was by himself. He was in isolation. What did he do in those moments? He poured out his soul to God. He prayed, wanting to be close to Him. He has that thirst for God. His soul pants for God. Strong desire. Like the deer pants for the flowing stream. St. Patrick was born in England around in AD 390. When he was a teenager, he was captured by the Irish and taken to Ireland and became a slave to the king. He worked as a slave shepherd. As a slave shepherd, the work was very hard and it was isolated. Often for months at a time, he had to spend alone in the hills. It was during those isolated moments of hungry, lonely, frightened, and bitterly cold, he began seeking out a relationship with his Heavenly Father. Later on in his life, he wrote, I will pray constantly during the daylight hours, and the love of God surrounded me more and more. In those moments of isolation, driven by the desire to know God, St. Patrick stayed close to God through praying. He had that close communication with God during those times in life. And later on, he was released and sent back to England. And then many years later, he went back to Ireland as a missionary. Moving to a new country, a new city, attending a new church can often be an isolating experience. When there is a job change, something happening to our relationships, or a family crisis can also make us feel isolated. We feel no one really understands us, isn't it? In those isolating moments, we feel rather lonely. We know that no one can really understand. It's like the words in Proverbs 14:10. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. How true is it? How true this is in those moments of isolation? What do we do in those moments? Very often in today's culture, if we have access to TV or internet, we may find ourselves indulging in it. You see, when we are with friends or in a very familiar environment, with good fellowship, with good small group friends, it's so easy to grow spiritually, isn't it? We have brothers and sisters to pray with us and to pray for us. We study the Word together. We may not even know what the hunger is, because we are constantly being fed. We don't know what hungry is all about. But when we are alone, when we are in isolation, whether it's physical or mental isolation, then it is very difficult, isn't it? Physical isolation is one thing. You know, when you are with a lot of friends, a lot of people, you still feel isolated. That's a very terrible feeling. However, it is also in those lonely moments that we need to adjust our focus to really shift the focus to God. And we want to pour out our soul like the psalmist did to Him. He said, when we recognize our hardships and our limitations, we'll begin to thirst after God, to have that desire for God. And then let's take a look at some of the similar verses. 42:1, as a deer pants for a flowing stream, so pants my soul for you. Even though it is an expression of thirst, but there is also the indication, the hint of being pursued. That's why it leads to that thirst and looking for stream. Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me continually, where is your God? And verse 9, where do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And then chapter 43, verses 1 and 2, vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust men, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? So from these verses, it is clear that the psalmist was not only surrounded by enemies, he was pursued by them. He was in a very hostile environment. He felt discarded and he felt even dejected by God. People were making fun of him. Where is your God? And in this hostile environment, his soul pants for God. He wants to know God. He wants to be near to God. He wants to be close to Him. Don't we sometimes also find ourselves in hostile environments? Our boss is mean and unreasonable. Oh, we love the job. We don't mind the work, but we really can't stand the supervisor. What can we do in such moments? Certainly we can, and we have complained to people around us. We couldn't understand why we are treated so unfairly. For all the people, why me? We feel resentful and bitter towards our working environment. However, learning from the psalmist that in such moments we can also turn to God. It is good to remember that our Lord was also attacked and was treated unfairly. That our Lord always found himself in those hostile environments. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we can also expect attacks and mistreatment by people around us, because the student cannot be greater than the teacher. Physical hunger will drive us to the refrigerator to find food. What would our spiritual hunger, the desire for God, drive us to? Again, let's look at the psalmist. Chapter 43, verse 3. Send out your light and your truth. let them lead me. You see, in the scriptures, especially in Psalms, light and truth are imageries for God's word. In isolation, in hostility, in the midst of present dissatisfaction, the psalmist's desires for God drives him to God's word. He wished that God would come down to him and to meet him through the spoken word. Isn't this something that we all can learn from? In isolation and in hostility, very often there rises in us a desire to know God. There's that spiritual hunger, a spiritual appetite for God. Instead of seeking fulfillment from those superficial things, like sometimes we try to fulfill that inner hunger by going from one relationship into another relationship. We're trying to fill our hunger through TV programs and internet websites. And you know how disappointed they were. Instead, we need and we can turn to God's word. In isolation, in hostility, in hardships, our desire for God will drive us to God's word. And then take a look, another look at verse 3 and 4, second half of verse 3. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of the God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you. O God, my God. The psalmist is saying that God's word, God's truth, God's light will lead him to the holy hill, to Jerusalem, to the altar, and finding God as his greatest joy. He's thinking of coming to Jerusalem. Jerusalem means the place where God sits, the place where God reveals himself to his people. He thinks of coming to the altar where the sacrifice is made. It is because of the sacrifice made there, the psalmist knows that he can certainly meet God with great joy there. How about us today? There is neither Jerusalem nor the altar for us to go to anymore. Instead, we have to come to Christ who was crucified on the cross. You see, it's on the cross that we meet God's righteousness and also God's love and forgiveness. We come to Christ and we worship him. In isolation, in isolation and in hostile environment, the desire for God will drive us to come to Christ through prayers and through the reading of his word. As we come to him, it is where we also worship him. I still remember several weeks ago, it was on a Friday night. It was kind of late. It's about 10 o'clock already. And I was talking with an individual in my office. In my conversation with her, I pointed out some scripture verses. But then all of a sudden I realized I could not locate a scripture verse that was very important to help this person. So I looked at my computer was just turned off, so I couldn't even do a quick search. Yeah, I have my PDA, but then I thought, well, try to search a verse with my PDA at that moment, it's kind of risky. So I quickly went to the next room, and fortunately, there was another office pastoral staff there. So I said, well, can you help me to locate these two verses? I need to know what book, until I know what book, I need to know what chapter, what verse it is. So 30 minutes later, this person came back and gave me the chapter, the verse. It's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? You're a pastor and you have been a Christian all these years, and that you cannot find these two verses. That may not be a life defining moment, but it's very close to it. And so after that night, I make a decision. I said, okay, I'm going to make an extra effort to memorize a lot of those scripture verses. It's that moment, those special time that kind of motivated me, caused me to see, hey, you know, I'm very limited in some of the areas. I need to get to know him more through the Word. Of course, I also know that having said this, I'm fully aware that my situation, that night's circumstance, really cannot compare with some of the hardships that some of you are going through. You know, what I went through that night, it was really Mickey Mouse stuff, kindergarten stuff, compared to what you are going through, your life-defining moments. Some of us are experiencing a change in our careers. There are crises in relationship and severe family problems. And then these problems will inevitably bring out the past memories, thinking about what it was like before, the feelings of isolation and the feeling of hostility. And in some of our hearts this morning, there may also be a yearning and desire for God deep within us. In isolation and in hostility, the psalmist came to God to satisfy, to find satisfaction for his yearning soul. Then he cries out, as deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. But is that all? I don't think so. Because the psalmist is also pointing us to something else. You know, several hundred years later, in John 7, chapter 37, Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Chapter 4, verse 4 in John, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty. Will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You see what the psalmist was saying? That I yearn for that flowing stream, for that water. But there's also more to that. He's pointing us, pointing you and pointing me, pointing to the readers of this psalm, to that Christ, to that Messiah. Because that Christ, that Messiah, is the only one who can truly satisfy us. In our own isolation, hostile environment, or in our moments of recognition of our inadequacy, we need to come to Christ. For he alone can truly satisfy the desire within us for him. He is that living water that will quench our thirst. He alone can satisfy our spiritual appetite, our hunger for God. Shall we pray? I understand that different people may be in different situations. Some could be in moments of hardship, others feeling isolation, because you have just moved to this new city or to this country. You're thinking about past times you have with friends, how great it was, those pleasant memories. But very often those just create more the sense of being isolated, the sense of being in a hostile, non-friendly environment, if everything is so new to you. Maybe it's if you find yourself in these situations, I'd like to encourage you, really come to Christ, that he alone can satisfy you. Will you, in your own words, tell him about that desire within you, that you want to be close to him? And I also ask him to help you, that you will begin to spend more time reading his word and also praying to him. Father, as we have come to you,
pray that you will satisfy our thirst.